to the November 24, 2015 Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals meeting. Welcome everyone who's come out this morning, and staff and board members. We have a full board, which is always nice. The first item on our agenda is approval of the October 27, 2015 meeting minutes, which have been previously distributed to the board.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve those minutes for voting this time. The minutes have been approved unanimously. On to the regular agenda. The first item on our agenda is two Cogshaw Court setback variance request, and we'll hear from staff at this time.
Thank you, Mr. members of the board. The first item of business on our agenda is a side yard setback variance request for property at 2 Cogshaw Court and the Landing subdivision. The property, you can see on our tax map here, is located east of the intersection of West Cross Road and Cogshaw Court in the Butts Common area. There's also a man-made water feature, a lagoon at the rear of the property, which you can see where this is the subject property. The petitioner is requesting a 1-foot side yard setback variance in order to develop a addition on this property. It's a 15 by 24 living space. The required side yard setback on this property is 10 feet, and they're requesting a 1-foot side yard setback encroachment. You can see on the sketch here the location of the proposed addition. Pardon me. And it's typical in many of the properties that we've seen, and we'll see others today within the Landing subdivision. There's a mix of common area and mature vegetation on a number of the lots in this particular area. You can see the proposed area of encroachment abuts common area, and which you can see in the photograph here, a vegetative buffer. Staff finds that based on the adjacency to the common area and the lack of impact of a 1-foot side yard setback variance, also the fact that the architectural review committee of the landings has previously approved this encroachment, that we're recommending approval of the encroachment for 2 Cogshaw Court.
Any questions, staff?
Yeah. Point out which of these buildings in the aerial.
Oh, sorry. So this building right here is the subject property. And this is the side on which the encroachment would occur.
And is that the side where the common area is in between the two houses?
It is this area right here.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, staff? Is the petitioner here?
We're the owners.
The board, have you already signed them?
Yes.
We'll come forward and state your name.
Mike Lindsay, Joanne and I are the owners of the house, and would appoint the commission for considering a request.
You'll raise your right hand?
Sure.
Do you swear the testimony you'll present this morning will be the truth?
I do. And really, we just want to make sure that we're here for any questions that you have. It's just a 1 foot on the corner on the side. And all our neighbors have already sent emails to the commission in some full support of this. The house is also pretty decrepit on the outside, so we're planning an upgrade on the upside with this construction.
Any questions of the petitioner?
Thank you for your consideration.
Is anyone here from the public on this matter? I will entertain the motion.
I move we accept the staff's recommendation.
Second. Properly moved and seconded. We can vote this time. It's been approved unanimously. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Next item on the agenda is 3 Tithing Man Lane, also a setback variance, and we'll hear from staff at this time.
Mr. Chairman, the property at 3 Tithing Man Lane is within the Lansing subdivision as well. The petitioner is requesting approval of a 6-foot side yard setback variance from the 20-foot side yard setback requirement. Let me just add a note here. You may notice that there are varying side yard and rear yard and front yard setback requirements within the Landings. The PUD was developed and the individual properties were platted. There were different degrees of setbacks required for different areas within the Landing. So that's the sort of the reasoning behind that, and the county recognizes those platted setbacks as the requirements. The property we're looking at today, you can see again, abuts to the rear common area in the form of a golf course. And as I mentioned, they're requesting a 7-foot side yard setback variance on the east side of the residence. What you'll notice in the sketch plan that's attached to your agenda, I'll show you here, that portion of the residence currently encroaches at this location. You can see the setback line here. Staff is not fully aware how that sort of situation occurred because we don't have any variances on file for this property. You can see the area of the proposed addition here at the rear corner of the house. And I should point out that the proposed addition does not encroach any further to the east than the current house does. There was some correspondence from neighboring property owners in support of this petition that you have attached to your agenda. And this is an aerial photograph of the house, which is located here. You can see where it backs up to the golf course. And the area of the proposed encroachment is located here. The next closest house is in this area. And again, a substantial vegetative buffer exists between both of the properties. Based on the fact that the proposed encroachment is not encroaching any further than the current houses, staff is recommending approval of the setback variance request for 3 Tithing Man Lane.
Any questions of staff? Thank you. Is the petitioner or the representative here? If you signed in. All right, you'll state your name and raise your right hand.
Van Tyson.
Mr. Tyson, do you swear that your testimony this morning will be the truth?
I do. All
right. You got anything to share?
I believe originally that there was a 7-foot side setback to this property. Once they've changed that throughout the course of, you know, the years, it's gone to 20. And, you know, now the entire residence is basically within that setback.
Any questions of the petitioner? Thank you.
All right, thank
you. Yes, sir. Does anyone hear from the public on this matter? I'll entertain a motion.
I move to accept staff's recommendation.
Second.
Properly moved and seconded. We'll vote at this time. Approved unanimously. Good luck, Mr. Tyson.
Thank you.
Next matter on the agenda is 2213 and 2215 Cinder Landing Court. Another setback variance. And we'll hear from staff this time.
Chairman, we'll move out of the Landings briefly, and these properties are actually in the Sandfly area. The petitioner, these properties are vacant. I shouldn't mention these two lots, 2213 and 2215, Cinder Landing Court. Cinder Landing Court is a residential street that dead ends off of Norwood Avenue. who is also the property owner of this lot, Lot 25, since I believe in the process of building a residence on that lot. The two vacant lots are, and we've seen this circumstance in quite a few properties in this particular area, trying to deal with the setback requirements while keeping a proposed house in line with houses that are already existing. A lot of the structures that are out in this particular side of town were built from the 1951 and still exist. Both Norwood Avenue and Cinder Lane Court have 60-foot rights of way, but only about 20 feet of pavement. And with the capacity of these streets and the fact that most of the areas beyond this are built out, it's unlikely that these roads would ever be widened. But the petitioner is requesting a 17-foot front yard setback variance from the 25-foot requirement for both of these lots, which are both single-family lots, essentially to create a building envelope on these properties. This is an aerial photograph of the two lots. You can see Norwood Avenue here and Cinder Landing at this location. There's a number of houses along Cinder Landing Court also. And I would say that the lot that you see is not as it appears. The lots on the south side of Cinder Landing Court are not as deep as those on the north side. The ones on the north side are about 95 foot deep in average. The petitioner's property as well as the other lots on that side of Cinder Landing Court are about 80 feet deep on average. And between that fact and the required setback, it somewhat prohibits the buildable area of these lots, in staff's opinion. You can see a recent survey of the two properties at this on this exhibit. This is another clue that was provided by the petitioner, an older survey. That shows the setbacks here. There is a 25-foot requirement, as I mentioned. Of the, there's, yeah, there are 12 lots that are along Cinder Landing Court. Five of them are vacant, which includes the developer's property, the petitioner's property. Staff finds that based on the current condition relative to setbacks along Cinder Landing Court, that it would be appropriate to approve a variance to allow the petitioner to build the structures in conformance with the existing setbacks relative to structures that are already present. So based on that, we're recommending approval of the setback variance request.
Any questions, staff? Thank you. And see the petitioner is here.
Yes, sir.
You already signed in?
Yes, sir.
If you raise your right hand, state your first name, your last name.
Weeks.
And you swear your testimony this morning will be the truth?
I do.
Okay. Anything to add?
No, I'm just here to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. I was hesitant to ask this, but I'll be asked on Monday. Now that I've seen you, you've been remiss at the quarterback club all season.
Oh, I didn't know that was appropriate here, but... I have.
But I will not turn you into the sheriff.
I think they've got enough on me already.
And congratulations on your wedding. I haven't seen you since then.
Appreciate it. Okay.
Thanks. Anyone here from the public? Anybody?
I'll move we approve the staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Probably move and second.
Now we get to the good one. Yeah, that's why I did it. I figured.
Yeah, that's pretty unanimous. Next item on the agenda is
306 East Point Drive, an appeal of a decision by the zoning administrator. And we'll hear the staff this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The petition on the agenda at this time regards to 306 East Point Drive is an appeal from a decision by the zoning administrator. This is in regards to a proposed construction of a private marine dock facility on a vacant lot which has a single family residential zoning classification. It's been the finding of the zoning administrator that a dock is an accessory use and therefore not a principal use, and as a principal use is not an allowed use within the R1A residential single family classification. The petitioner is appealing that decision to the board today. The subject property, as I mentioned, is an undeveloped lot. It's approximately 550 feet west of the Bull River Bridge. This is a tax map that shows the property. As you can see, the tax assessor's information indicates that it's a 0.34 acre parcel. However, it's substantially consists of wetlands. The petitioner filed a dock permit both with the state and with the county. And as I mentioned, the county's finding was that as an accessory use, a dock would not be permitted in this scenario. And I think this similar situations have been before the county in the past, and those findings have been consistent with them. We have had a number of conversations with adjoining property owners and stakeholders in the neighborhood, questions via telephone and email. And a lot of it, which I think some of you will hear today, has to do with the ownership of this property and whether or not the petitioner has the legal authority to build here or not. But I would like to state that what's before us or the board is whether or not the zoning administrator's determination is based on the ordinance and its prudence. The R1A zoning classification is a one-family residential classification. There are a number of uses that are allowed within that district, including churches and schools, child and adult daycare facilities, but primarily it's a residential zoning district. Commercial uses are not generally allowed within that district other than those that I brought forth for you moments ago. And it's been the zoning administrator's finding and the staff's believes he is correct and that the proposed use as a private dock is not allowed under the zoning ordinance. I believe there is some there could be some consideration for community docks in that zoning classification, and Mr. Seebeck could probably expand on that a little bit. But what's before us now is his ruling on the petitioner's application. Essentially, in terms of the zoning ordinance, policy is that any use that is not allowed by right within a zoning district cannot be established unless it's determined to be similar enough to an allowed use, and that is not the case here. Based on those findings, staff's recommendation is that the zoning administrator's opinion be upheld.
Any questions of staff at this time?
Is there enough room on the high land to build a house?
We don't have a survey of the property. There probably is not enough room on the high land to build a house that is probably commensurate with whatever this property costs. It doesn't mean that you couldn't build something on it, but I couldn't answer that for you today because we don't have the information from the petitioner to be certain of what could be built here.
Could you build 1,000 square feet, do you think?
Maybe. I mean, that's possible.
Can you point out on that aerial where actually the lot is?
Oh, yeah. I've got some other exhibits I'll show you here, but the lot is essentially right in this area. As you can see, there was a dock there in the past that's been removed. The pilings are there.
What's the existing dock there, Marcus?
That's a neighboring property owner's dock.
I assume that does have a residence on it?
Yes, it does. It comes, but just back off the picture here, I think you can see that it comes back that way. And on, yeah, this text map, that dock that you're looking at comes from this property, which is that lot.
And that space number two, is that, what is that, marsh?
I'm wrong, you mean two?
Right here?
Yeah.
That's the adjacent property. That's, well, it's marsh.
Yeah. Where is the dividing line here?
Just on the, along the dock, the, here to the dock.
And where's the residence for this dock?
It's just off the map down here. In fact, I'll give you a letter.
The property line is 12 feet off of those pylons.
Is in this area that we're discussing today. This is the house that belongs to the dock.
It appears that there is a larger subdivision to the west there. Is this a part of that subdivision?
Oh, yes, there is a larger subdivision. Yes.
So this, this parcel has been a part of that subdivision since it was subdivided?
Let me just make sure we're... You mean down here?
Yes.
Okay. As far as I'm aware, yes, it is.
Okay.
Can you access it from Delay Island Road? Or?
So this is East Point Drive that comes here. It ends essentially at that, at the subject property, and that's where the access comes from. I would like to back up a little bit back to Mr. Blackburn's point about developing the property. Obviously, the size of the property and the amount of wetlands causes an issue in terms of the septic situation. You know, it's inadequate in order to establish that. The only way to do anything there would be to bring water, bring sewer, which is over by the bridge, which is not impossible, but quite costly, I'm sure.
Now, Marcus, the immediately adjacent property, I guess that's to the south rather than the east, is where the gambling boat docks. There's no residence on that property.
Right here. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. In fact, that's a picture of one of those old boats, I think.
That's right.
And what is that property zone?
I've seen that zone commercial there.
It is on commercial. It's WT, which is a waterfront commercial.
WI.
WI. Waterfront and waterfront industry. So,
is there any intended use for this dock other than private uses?
My understanding from the petitioner is that he intends to establish a private dock only on that property.
For he and his family only?
Yes, sir.
With no suggestion that there will be uses of a community dock?
That's correct.
isn't there already a community dock on the lake?
I mean, there's one
north on the north part of the island.
Around the bend in the area.
What other use could the property be put to?
Under the current zoning, and based on the zoning administrator's finding, there really aren't any other uses other than residential that this property could be used for. I mean, theoretically, you could put a chapel on here, but
theoretically, the zoning administrator's finding makes the property unusable.
I can't say that with certainty because without having the property surveyed to the point of whether or not you know a house could be built here, I wouldn't make that finding. But we know that the cost of bringing sewer to this property is quite prohibitive in terms of building residential on the lot.
This is quite similar to the small lot on Loretta's we looked at last year. It's very difficult.
Yeah, the only really difference from that, I think, is that he was able to get his utilities to the property, but there were a number of setbacks that would have been required.
And he was building the residence, not
that's right. He had a causeway.
And I would like to also add, if I may, is that we've had a number of conversations about this circumstance, not this particular case, but the policy on accessory uses. And really what our finding was that, and I make mention of it in our report, is that a dock in this case is no different from any other accessory use that you would find typically at a residence, like a swimming pool or a detached garage. The intent of the ordinance is not to establish those uses independent of principal uses on residential lots. So that's really where I think Mr. Seebeck's findings come from in this case.
This matter is not before the board on a variance request, correct?
Correct. This is before the board on an appeal to his decision to not issue a permit based on the findings I've described.
So it's an interpretation,
yes,
of the zoning ordinance itself.
Correct. That's correct.
Not a question of whether this property is zoned properly.
Right.
And that wasn't always the interpretation of the ordinance, was it?
I can't speak to that. I think it's always been Mr. Seebeck's interpretation. You mean prior zoning administrations?
But prior administrations allowed that Spanish Hammock,
yes,
was developed significantly by people just building docks
and vacant lots. And assuming those were granted legally, that was the interpretation of previous zoning administrators, yes.
And did I read in the petitioner's letter that they were willing to make some concession to forfeit the ability to pull power out to this thing, so that wasn't that included in the letter, that if necessary they would agree never to request power out to this dock so that it couldn't be construed as
And I think you might want to get the petitioner on record with that if that's a concern.
I thought I read that. Either.
Yes, sir.
Are we going to hear from adjacent property owners?
There are some adjacent property owners here today to speak on this item.
I guess, are there any other questions of staff at this time? We can always bring staff back after we hear from the petitioner and from the public.
I'd just like to ask Mr. Kirkland if he has looked at this property and has any information that might be of value.
I did look at the property on October 12th of this year to issue a buffer determination. There is no state waters buffer required on this site. The point of rested vegetation is out at the end of the marsh grass, so the ENS Act would not require a buffer. However, I would imagine that any of our county buffers would still be required on this site.
What's your high water?
Beg pardon?
Pardon? How large of a buffer are we talking about?
Well, if it's in the environmental overlay district and there's no variances that were granted as, you know, part of the platting, it would be up to 35 feet from the jurisdictional determination, which is, you know, sort of wraps around the property, if I remember correctly.
Which is what we always look to with the residence, which is easy to see, but with right. the dock, it's not the box we normally are looking at it.
Yeah, and a dock wouldn't be, the marsh buffer wouldn't apply to the dock itself.
Yeah, right.
Right.
It's in the marsh, so you would have to get a state dock permit as well.
And has that been applied for?
I don't know.
Yes, it has.
He's received that.
Yes, sir.
And the state granted the permit?
Was it granted?
Yes.
It was granted.
If nothing else for staff at this time, we'll come back, but let's hear from the petitioner. Have you signed in?
Yes, sir.
If you'll state your name.
Jeff Kramer.
And Mr. Kramer, if you'll raise your right hand, do you swear your testimony this morning to be the truth?
I do. I'm going to first show the survey we have on the property and try to clear a couple things up.
Sure.
Not really what I was going to start off with, but since there were some issues about it, I was going to show it real fast. This is a survey dated 1999. It shows the road coming in on the left side. Is that the point? Okay, sorry. There's the road coming in, East Point Drive. This is an easement right here that goes to the river. And this is actually the lot right here, 0.18 acres, which is about 8,000 square feet. It's basically a little over 30 feet here. It says 15. There's another 15.45, maybe 31. And it's 56 feet down here. It's 180-something feet on this side and 200 on that side. And of course, there's wetlands and stuff doing all this stuff. So then you got the 35-foot setback. Also, if you have any wetlands anywhere else, it's 35. If you want to put a septic tank in, it's another 50-foot setback to put a septic tank or drainage field in it. So we do have a lot of things that are kind of, you want to build a house on there, which I don't, as an architect, I don't believe it's possible to build a house on there. I mean, you could build one, but it couldn't get any of the sewer to it and all that sort of thing. So that hopefully clears a few things up. What I mainly was talking about today was the reason the permit was turned down after Mr. Smith had his DNR permit and his Corps engineer permit to build a dock and several other permits in the past to build a dock there. Mr. Seifert says the dock was an accessory structure, as I heard earlier. So when I went to talk with Mr. Seifert about the definition of accessory structure, and we did some digging in the code. First, we looked at the definition. It says a detached building or structure on the same lot as the principal structure, which is customarily incidental or subordinate to the principal structure. Accessory buildings, with the exception of garage apartments and caretaker's quarters, as defined, shall not be used as dwelling or dwelling units. And this is could not be found online. You looked it up online. He said the online issue was out of date from the MPC. I was a little surprised about that, and he gave me this copy. That's what Mr. Seabeck gave me, and it has some crossing out stuff on the building accessory structure up above, and I was kind of like, really, is this it? But that was...
Turn it the other way.
Is this better this way?
Yeah.
No, so it's on the screen before we can read it?
Yeah.
Just like
this way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm doing it like it was a picture. But,
we thought maybe that was one of your architectural models.
I thought it was, I put it in landscape, but anyway, that's what it says in the accessory structure. So I was looking at that and I was like, well, okay. It doesn't say a dock's an accessory structure, which Mr. Siegbeck said, well, a swimming pool's not an accessory structure either. So, and so then I got the report back and he says, or whoever says, the staff says, as it relates in section 4-5-2, Chatham County Zoning Ordinance provides a list of uses. And we look at the list of uses and we find in the list of uses incidental or accessory uses in buildings. And that's, if I can get this right this time, I guess it's section 13. It has, basically, it's that little 13 says pretty much you can have an accessory building and all these different uses at the top of the page, which we're in R1A. I think I struck R1, but it's R1A. They both can have accessory structures. And then it has the list right under there, a list of uses of the accessory structures. And if I can read this. Temporary accessory buildings shall be permitted for not more than 24 months. That's the first one. It's and then B is except for temporary structure buildings with our different zonings. And accessory use has not set, it cannot have separate utilities. It says an accessory use shall not have separate utility services from the principal use. And that's where that electricity question came from earlier. If you want to call a dock an accessory structure, and if you put it on a lot without a house, that's where it says you can't have utility separate from the principal use. That's where that, there's been a couple of docks built recently that didn't have electricity because there wasn't a house on there. And that's where that came from. Then it goes, tells other things, all these other accessories, R1A, R1B, R1C districts, minimum rear side yard setbacks 5 feet, and it goes through all the different things. But I guess my point is, it doesn't say anything about a dock being accessory structure and any of this accessory structure stuff in the zoning ordinance. But then we look under a property card. The property card down at the bottom for the use of the land is. It's called, doesn't say the use is residential. It says land use, it says create direct access. So the property card says the use of the property is create direct access, which makes pretty good sense since it's the lot's so small, it's on the creek. It's had a dock on it before.
But wouldn't that just mean that it's an empty lot that's on the creek? It doesn't have a house? Aren't they really just describing what it is? If they had a house on it, they would call it a residence.
And we depend on the zoning map rather than the tax maps.
Okay, whatever. It just says the use of the lots is creek direct access on the property card, which they've been using all these years. Okay. So then... we look under the same section that's referenced in the section 4.4-5.2 and look under uses. We're not looking under accessory uses. We're looking under uses in the different zoning districts. And one of the uses is a private or residential community boat, dock, or pier. It's under uses. It's not under accessory uses. That's why I don't understand why we're calling it one. Because right there, this thing's a little hard to get in here. But under uses, private or residential community, boat, dock, or pier is under the use. It doesn't say accessory uses under there, it says use. So we're just going by the zoning ordinance, we think, and we couldn't understand what it was called an accessory structure, even though a swimming pool is. So that's why we said we thought that it would be not considered an accessory structure since the actual use of this property is for a dock historically and And one of the comments we made is that it was considered an accessory structure, even if you couldn't have electricity to it. I don't really think it is an accessory structure. And I think Mr. Smith wanted to come up and talk about the history of the property a little bit. I got time for that.
Which, too small for me to see. So which, I have it pulled up, but I can't see. I passed mine down the way there. What number is that highlighted right there?
48.
Okay.
It's in section 4-5.2.
48. All right, one second. Get there.
You're looking for uses.
To the shore. Let me read you what it says actually, rather than paraphrase. Uses permitted to be extended from a zoning district into an abutting marsh conservation district are indicated by use of the letter E. The X means that it's a permitted use.
So why wouldn't that line that says private or residential community, both dock or pier, be a permitted use?
Well, like Marcus has said, my position has been that is an accessory use. The reason, in my opinion, and it's not listed with the other accessory uses, is that all those conditions that are under the accessory use list apply to buildings. That it has to do with the size of the lot, has to do with other things that relate to construction of buildings on a site, whereas a dock is a separate type of use.
It's an allowed use within that zoning district.
Well, that's why we're here. If I'm wrong, then I
guess what I'm saying is, do you disagree that it's allowed use in that zoning district?
With a principal use associated with it.
Where does the ordinance say that?
Well, it says that based on the definition of accessory uses, which is a use that's associated with the principal use.
But a dock isn't defined as an accessory use in the ordinance. And I'm not trying to give you up.
No, I understand. I don't know any other way to put it. And like I say, if that's why we're here. If that's not correct, then I'm wrong. I don't feel that I am, but that's certainly y'all's decision to make at this point.
Staff has alluded to a change in policy, perhaps from the what was the name of the place, the hammock.
Spanish Hammock.
Is there a purpose? why we are not doing things and making interpretations in the same way that the Spanish Hammock was done in the past?
Well, part of the role of the city or county zoning administrator is interpreting the zoning ordinance, and you know that does come down to the opinion of the individual who holds that position at the time. When the development of Spanish Hammock was occurring that Mr. Blackburn alluded to, that was during a different, under the a different zoning administrator. So it's not strange for one zoning administrator to interpret something one way and a subsequent one to interpret it differently.
So we have essentially a change in interpretation or policy based upon the present zoning administrator. I understand that. The question still remains, is this a proper use?
Right, I think the question for the board mostly is, along with what the petitioners brought forth today, is whether or not what has been described today as an accessory use should be allowed on a residential lot in lieu of a residence on that lot.
Is there no part of the ordinance that requires the residence to be built before a dock? I know this has come up before.
Mm-hmm. You have one near you, don't you?
And it was built improperly.
Is that a zoning issue, or is that?
It is.
He had a permit to build a house that was never built, and to this day is still not built, and it's been sold 3 times, and the dock was permitted on that basis, that the house be built before the dock. Never happened.
Not enforced.
And again,
so a zoning issue or a building or maybe a state license issue? I'm
not sure. That's my question.
Well, the state is going to issue a permit based on, you know, their requirements, and in those permits it says that you're still required to meet any local, you know, legislation.
Right.
And that's kind of where we are now with this particular case. And, you know, I refer back to the previous analogy, if you will, and I think this probably has some bearing on the way it's been adjudicated by the county zoning office in the past, is that in which order do you want to do things? To Ms. Hitch's point, I mean, if you get if you build a detached garage on a residential lot and it ends up just being a garage, you know, is that appropriate? And I think that's why we're here today on this case.
Has there been any, is this a case of first impression on this issue? Since this zoning administrator has been in place, is this the first
this
time
particular issue?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe so. I think we've have we had?
I don't remember, honestly.
Because the one on
so you're asking us to affirm a change in policy position from previous zoning?
I wouldn't say a change. I would say that the zoning administrator has made a determination, and the applicant is appealing that decision, and then it's the board's purview to determine whether or not his position is accurate.
But if we do go forward with the zoning administrator's opinion in this case, that sets precedent for future cases, does it not?
Well, only to the extent that if somebody came in next week with a similar petition and he would make the same finding, that person would still have the right to come before this board and seek an appeal.
Or a variance. I mean, it seems to me that the overarching issue here seems to be consistency going forward. And if you want to take these issues one-on-one in a variance scenario, that might be more appropriate.
And I think what happens if you consider the action of the board a precedent, and then what you would be saying is that what we're approving is allowing any non-residential use that's typically accessory to a residence to be built on a residential lot without a residence on it. And the board might correct me here, but I don't think we've
taken individual cases as precedent in the past. That's sort of the purpose of the board, is to take these cases as they come on an individual basis.
I'm just taking a look here, and I'm looking online, so tell me if I'm looking at an outdated definition or it's changed. But use is defined, dwelling is defined. And I think it sounds to me as though we're trying to say this isn't a dwelling, so therefore in R1A is not the use. But we're mixing the two up. A dwelling is one of the uses, but then a host of other uses are listed. You know, it says that a private or residential community dock or pier is a use. But right above that, it says it does not check off fishing pier, fishing campsite. So you can't do that, but you can do the private dock. Principal use, or use, comma, principal, defined as the principal purpose for which a lot or the main building thereon is designed, arranged, or intended, and for which it may, which is or may be used, occupied, or maintained in accordance with the provisions of the regulations. Part of that's not applicable here since there's no building. So it's the principal purpose for which the lot is designed, arranged, or intended, and may be used. And I think that's what they're asking here. And then does R1A say yes or no? And it's, it seems to me, XE there, it says yes. If there's a reason not to, then I'm all ears. But if I read this, it's pretty black and white.
My only comment would be that the use that the property is intended to would be defined by the zoning district, which in this case is a single family zoning district, which means a residence is the principal use.
Is it though? It says R1A, and then it lists a host of uses. The first one is a single family dwelling, number one, but then we go all the way through 44 plus all the subparts of additional types of uses that can either be checked off of approved or not approved. Many are not approved, but there are those that are approved. You know, our job is to get it right within the ordinance, and the ordinance is
so how clearly do you define a principal use, or all of those things principal uses?
That's
all of them. All of them.
Next under it is use accessory. So let me read that. A temporary use of a building in connection with a construction project or real estate development. A use of building customarily incidental and subordinate to the principal use on a lot and conducted on the same lot with such principal use. You have to read that in conjunction with the definition of principal use, which says